Please turn with me this morning to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 10. The book of Acts and chapter 10. And I'm reading a well-known verse, verse 43. Acts chapter 10 and verse 43. To him, speaking about Christ, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And Acts chapter 10 gives us the record of the conversion of a man called Cornelius. And actually, it is the longest record, the longest account of any given conversion in the Bible. You have 66 verses just narrating how this man came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So it means this is a remarkable account. It is a remarkable record. And hopefully we will draw some applications, some lessons to help us to know the Lord, to walk with the Lord, to serve the Lord, and to appreciate what Christ has done for us. So my title is really, Only Christ Suffices. Only Christ will do. Nothing else. Nothing else, my dear brothers and sisters. And from the beginning, I want to ask just a few questions. Which religion? Because people are asking. There are so many religions. But where do we find a religion with a savior? And unfortunately, I have to say, I'm really saddened by it, because I meet some Christians, if I may say some so-called Christians, they are still not sure. Oh, what about that religion? What about that religion? They also do certain things. They also believe in God. They also do good works. But you see, when you come to the record here, there are remarkable things, as I said about Cornelius for us, which will make you to see that there is only one Savior, and there is also only one religion with a Savior. There is a number of qualities and virtues, and I have a good dozen of them. Don't be discouraged. A good of them, just to show you, this man is packed with qualities and virtues. But all these qualities and virtues will not grant him salvation. Something is missing. Something is missing. And he had to understand that without coming to a saving knowledge of Christ, there is no hope. There is no hope in this world, but also there is no hope in the world to come. So, my dear friends, look at the qualities and the virtues, great things that are being said about Cornelius. But they are all pointless, meaningless, insignificant, unless he finds the Lord Jesus Christ. So maybe there are people among us, and certainly there are, who are still, what about other religions? So the first thing in verse 1, look at it, it's all in the text. And my dear brothers and sisters, as I keep telling, and I will keep on saying it, I invent nothing. It's all in the text before you. And the first thing you can see said about Cornelius, he was a Roman officer who was a proselyte to the Jewish religion. So, which means this man was a pagan without any religion. He did not worship any god. And for the Romans, you know, for the Romans, and especially for a soldier and a captain of over 100 people, what matters? It's not erudition. It's not knowledge. What matters for them is self-worship. What matters for them is power. Not power of God, but man's power. That's really what mattered for the Romans. But here he is, this Roman in a Jewish land, came to adopt, to embrace the Jewish religion. That's what he said in verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. So first, he was a religious man. From paganism, he now adopted the religion of the Jews. And the second thing, I just glanced at them very quickly because we want to draw some applications for ourselves later. And the second thing, verse 2, it says that he was a devout man. He was devout. He was godly. He was pious with deep convictions and great convictions. He was sincere. And this is something really we have to draw our attention on. There are many people in our world, they are sincere. They pray, they worship, they give alms, they do great things. They are sincere. But as you know the saying, you can be sincere and be sincerely wrong. So sincerity is not a warrant of having access to God. So first, Cornelius was a religious man. Second, he was devout. He was sincere. He was pious. He was godly. And the third thing I want to put before you, still in verse 2, he was a man who feared God. He feared God. And many times we ask people, why are you a Christian? And they say, oh, I fear God. But you see, this man feared God, but that was not enough. And not only he feared God, but look, the verse says, he communicated that fear to all his house. Everyone, his children, his wife, his servants, everyone in his household was moved and touched by that fear of God. But still, that was not enough. Great quality, but it was not enough. And I believe this we can parallel the life of Cornelius in the fact that he feared God with many people, not just here, but I'm speaking generally speaking, they attend the church. They like to even contribute to the work of the church. But they are not converted. I'm sorry, I have to put it so bluntly. Come to all services, but they have never reached to the point of saying, like Cornelius, we will see it later, to the point where I need salvation. I don't need just religiosity. I don't need just a religion. I need a savior. I need to have relationship with the living God. And that's very important, because performing a ritual, performing ceremonials, will not save anyone. And Cornelius was in that kind of persons who may perform rituals, but the heart is empty, the heart is not in relationship with God. So that was a third thing we can read about Cornelius. And in verse 2 again, it says that he gave much alms to the people. This was a generous man. He was a generous man. He was willing to share what he has with other people. And he showed mercy to the needy. And he was not selfish. And the fifth one, in verse 2 again, we are told that he prayed to God always. So this is a man who was praying to God. God being a generic word for the deity. But again, you see, his prayers were not sufficient. It's not the quantity of your prayers that will save you or save me. But the object, what kind of God, which God are you praying to and am I praying to? And the sixth virtue or quality we see in Cornelius, in verse 3 and 4, we are told that he was visited by God, and he was told that thy prayers, in verse 4, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. So it seems like God heard the prayers of Cornelius. But my dear friends, some will say, does God hear the prayers of non-believers? Yes. Before you came to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you were unconverted. So you did that prayer before you were saved. There must be a prayer before being saved. But also we know God is compassionate. God is gracious. He even answers the prayers of non-believers. But remember, my brothers and sisters, there is always the common grace. When the sun is shining, it doesn't shine only on Christians. When it is raining, it doesn't rain only on Christians. This is the common grace. But the special grace, where God is my Father, I am adopted in the family of God, I have relationship with God, and he bestows upon me so many answers to prayers. I could see his power in my life. This is special grace to his children only. So Cornelius, as you can see, his prayers were heard. And the same, that is repeated in verse 31. This is, really, I don't need to tell you this, but it is so packed. Verse 31, and said Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are heard in remembrance in the sight of God. And the sixth thing which you see in Cornelius is that he had a vision. He had a vision, and even an angel came to speak to him. It's here in verse 3 and 4 again. You can see that an angel spoke to him and he had that special vision. But you see, again, he needs that vision. He needs that angel to speak with him. Because remember, before Acts chapter 10, the gospel was only preached to the Jews. Only to the Jews. But from Acts chapter 10, you find now the beginning of the gospel reaching not just the Jews, but the Jews and the Gentiles becoming one in the church of Jesus Christ. So my dear brothers and sisters, as we often mentioned it to you, God has no two kinds of people. Only one. One people. That's his chosen people. In the church of Jesus Christ, where everyone who have trusted, repented from his sins, and put his faith on the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, have the remission of his sins. And that's very important. So, we don't need a vision. We don't need an angel to speak to us. Why? Because now we have all the counsel of God. Everything we need to know about how to find the Lord, Cornelius need that. Need the presence of that vision. He need the coming of Peter. But we don't need anything of such because now we have the whole counsel of God. The canon of the Bible is closed and we have everything we need. We have the full counsel of God. We have the Bible, and Bible is sufficient in all things that pertain to faith and practice. So that was the seventh one. The eighth one, Cornelius was called a just man. He was a just man. Look at it in verse 22. A just man with a good report. He had a good report in verse 22. And they said, the servants of Cornelius said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that feared God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews. You see, so he was a man of good report, a just man. He was right in his own right. But now, to be right before God, nobody's right, Bible says. But to be right before God, we must receive the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the righteous one. Now the next one, the ninth one, and this is another amazing one. Cornelius was a humble man. Oh, my dear friends, can I draw your attention? For anyone to be saved, you need to be a humble person. Why? Because deep down in us, we are all proud people. Proud. Full of ourselves. But in verse 25, you can see that when Cornelius came before Peter, he had to knee down. He had to bow down before Peter. Of course, Peter didn't like it. It's not that Peter wanted to be praised or worshipped by anyone, but it is a way of respect. It is a way of respect. But remember, who is Cornelius? This is a centurion, a man who has in charge over 100 soldiers. But look at him now, bowing down before a fisherman. And I can only say, I have seen so many testimonies. And I have heard so many testimonies. Here is a proud person who thinks the world, he's the center of the world. But he comes, God crushes him down, and he sees that he is nothing. And he is humbled to the dust. And he cries to God to save him. My dear friends, no power can do that in this world. It must be the power of the Holy Spirit. And in verse 25, you can see that Cornelius fell down at his feet and worshipped him. Are you a humble person? Am I a humble person when it comes to salvation? You see, all these things are crucial for us. They are good qualities, but they blossom, they shine, they become so pertinent once a person is saved. But all these things in Cornelius are things that are happening before his conversion. And you know what the Bible says? All our righteousnesses are like a filthy rag before God. You have nothing to pretend. You have nothing to bring before God. Nothing. Nothing. So that's why humility is so crucial in order to find salvation. My dear friends, the tenth one. There is a tenth one here. Cornelius was obedient. He was obedient. Look at it again in verse 7 and 8. As soon as he had the angel speaking to him, as soon as he had the vision to send his men to find Peter, he did not delay. And recently, if you don't mind me saying this, recently I preached a gospel service here where I was saying, my dear friends, the gospel is now. Don't delay it. Don't do anything until this is done. Because nobody knows what is coming. Nobody knows. And right when he heard the good news from an angel sent by God, Cornelius was obedient. Will you be obedient today? You hear that there is a God, not just a God, the only God. But God didn't just stay there speaking to us. He sent a Savior in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died on the cross of Calvary. Oh, I will speak about it tonight. What kind of Savior do we have? A living Savior. On the third day, he was risen from the dead. So Cornelius had to hear that in order to find salvation, not of his own values, not of his own merits, not of his own prowess, but based on what Christ has done. And as I said, he was an obedient man. And that's found in verse 33. Immediately, therefore, I send to thee, he says to Peter, immediately. My dear friends, salvation is immediately, right now. I want it now. If you want something, you find it now. And we often say, the seniors, they often speak about the past. The young ones, they are in the future. In the future. But the language of the Bible, when it comes to salvation, it is always today. Today is the day of salvation. But please allow me one last one. They are all, as I said in the text, one last quality about Cornelius in this passage. And it is in verse 37. 37. Cornelius was aware, he knew what Christ has done even in his own time. Like you and me today, you hear what Christ is doing. And in verse 37, Peter says to Cornelius, that word, I say, ye know. So it's not something that has happened hiddenly. It was not hidden. It was not secret. It was public. The ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the record about the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is expounded to us, exposed for us in the Bible. Nothing has happened in secret. And Cornelius knew those things. He was acquainted with the word of God. He was acquainted that God sent the Lord Jesus Christ preaching peace to this world. But before I come to what Peter will say to Cornelius, my dear friends, all these 11 qualities and virtues I have listed for you did not suffice to save Cornelius. Please allow me in my small mind to say that Cornelius is a Muslim before Islam. He had everything. Everything. Every religiosity. Every good work. Prayers. Alms. He was a just man in his own right. But these things did not suffice to give him salvation. And he needed salvation like any other soldier under his command. But now Peter will speak to him. You see, we believe in instrumentality. God can save, he can save, he has power to save, but he always saves through instrumentality. And Peter was sent as the instrument by which Cornelius will hear great things about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have listed five of them, five things Cornelius is going to say about the Lord Jesus Christ to Cornelius, which will bring him to salvation. And the first one, it's all in the text again. And verse 34, the first one, God is no respecter of persons. God is not like us. We classify people in terms of colors, in terms of classes, in terms of employment, in terms of nationalities. But you see, God is no respecter of persons. This is said many times in James chapter 2, verse 1, said again in many, many passages in the Bible. God does not look who the person is. And look at the verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and walketh righteousness is accepted with him. And I'm sure many people here know Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, where it says that God is going to save a number that no man can count. No man can number. And that number is made of people of all kindred, all nations, all tongues, all people. Oh, that's the beauty of the Christian faith, isn't it? It is, indeed. God is no respecter of persons. You and me may pick and choose, but the only thing for God to save anyone is to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all God is looking in a person. And he gives you that faith. He makes you to repent. He makes you to have faith. That's why at the end of the day, there is nothing to boast about. So Cornelius had to hear that God is not a respecter of persons. That for to be accepted, faith in Christ is the basis of acceptance for Jews and Gentiles. And Peter had to discover the extended mission of Christ, because I don't have time to expand on it. Earlier, he said, no, I should not go into the house of a Jew, Because for the Jews, the Gentiles were dogs, unclean, not to relate to. But the second thing Cornelius is going to learn is not just God is a respecter of persons, but the second is that verse 36 to 38. Look at what it says there. Jesus of Nazareth was sent by God. Oh, my dear friends, I hope you like the expression that is said there in verse 36. It says that he is Lord of all. That's amazing. He is Lord of all. Christ is the Lord of all. Those who trust in him, he is their Lord. He is their God. He is their King, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. So Cornelius had to understand that Christ is the Lord of all. His message was attested by his power and miracles. He raised the dead. He walked on the sea. He controlled the waves. He fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He healed the sick. Oh, my dear friends, who have ever done that? Please allow me a digression. When I speak with Muslims, I often say to them, tell me one miracle your prophet has done. Just one. But if you take only the Gospel of Mark, there are at least 36 miracles performed by the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, why am I telling you this? If you are a Christian, may I say to you, you have a great Savior. This is not just a slogan, it is a reality. Not only that this Savior has performed miracles, but do you see what Peter says, verse 36, 37, 38? Christ was risen from the dead. Every religion leader is dead and remains dead. But Christ, our Savior, on the third day, very specific, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, on the third day, according to the scriptures, according to the scriptures. First, God is no respecter of persons. Second, Jesus Christ, the man of Nazareth, his humiliation name, he came into this world and he performed great miracles. He died on the cross of Calvary, but he was risen from the dead on the third day. The third thing which Cornelius will hear, which I anticipated, in verse 39 and 40, him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all people, verse 41, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Again, I say to Muslims, when Muhammad received the revelation, who were the witnesses? None. But with Christ, his resurrection, his ascension, 500 witnesses, my dear friends, 500 witnesses were there. And Peter and the 12, they touched him, they ate with him, they walked with him, and they saw him when he was risen from the dead. And the fourth thing Cornelius will hear is that, verse 42, Christ was ordained to be the judge of the world, the dead and the living. Oh, my dear friends, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, when you shall stand before him to be judged. Romans 8 verse 1 says, no more condemnation. But remember, Christ is going to be the judge of the dead and the living. Everyone will appear before him. But look, one last thing before I close. In verse 43, he gives, this is without exception. The gospel is inclusive and it excludes everything else. I hope you can see from verse 43. That's why I chose the title, Only Christ Suffices. Only Christ. And in verse 43 it says, to him, give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive the remission of sins. My dear friends, in closing, here are the conditions to be saved. They are all spotted for us in this verse. Whosoever, that's your name and my name, whosoever. You don't have to be special. You don't have to have a title. You don't have to come from a good family. Some people boast about that. But you see, whosoever. Oh, isn't that, that should humble you. Whosoever. That's me. Whosoever. That's the condition. You are a whosoever. God will hear every sinner that calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it is through his name. For Christians who are not sure, or so-called Christians who are still saying, oh, I do not know, is really Christ the only Savior? What about the Hindu? What about the Sikh? What about the Muslims? This passage says, through his name. It is through his name, and no other name will do. Whosoever. The second thing, which in application, not only the whosoever to receive salvation, it is to believe. It is here in the verse 43. It says, to him give all the prophet witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him. Believeth in him, not in someone else. You see, it doesn't say perform a ritual. It doesn't say give alms. It doesn't say fear God. It doesn't say pray. But believe. Oh, you may ask me, what is to believe? To believe is to trust. To believe is to yield my life to the Savior. To believe I don't need sacrifice, no offering to perform. It is only by faith. And as we often tell you, faith is the hand that receives freely. And look at the outcome. The outcome. The whosoever believeth in Christ receives what? The remission of sins. Please, it is in plural. Not just one sin here and there, but all my sins. Oh, my dear friends, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, may I urge you, seek him. Don't leave this building, if I may ask you to do so, without seeking after him. Don't go to any man. You go to the Lord, to himself, and he shall give you forgiveness of all your sins and receive the remission and forgiveness of sins. And you can see in verse 44 and to the end, when Cornelius believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And the last verse, he was baptized with all his family. My dear friends, Christ is the only Savior. Whoever believes in him receives the remission of all sins, all of them. Faith comes by hearing, and what we hear from the word of Christ. Come to him, seek after him. There is no other Savior. Let's close our time together by singing hymn number 458. Hymn number 458.